We're going to close out our gifts of the Spirit tonight. And I think the next, the weeks to come, the Lord's going to challenge us. He's placed something in my heart about true Christian characteristics. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. According to God's word, we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What you have isn't just for your benefit, it's for the benefit of others. And when you don't share it, others suffer. Amen. Because somebody besides you needs what you have. Amen. And that's why God called us as a body, because as a body that we need one another. None of us have everything. All of us need something. Amen. So as we're moving on tonight, I want to start with verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. I think it's important for us to have Holy Ghost ambition. Amen. He wants us to desire the best he has. Amen. And sometimes we have lack because we really didn't desire the best. Sometimes we settle for second best instead of going for the very best. I don't know about you, but every good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father of heaven above, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has special and wonderful things for us. So we're looking at first, we're going to have some holy ambition. In 1 Corinthians 14, 12, the word of God says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Amen. To excel to the building up of someone else. This is spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. It doesn't just stop in that one area. You know, it's in every area of life. And God wants us to excel in that. Excel in building up. In other words, if I've been a builder before, he wants me to do better at it. He wants me to take it to another level. Amen. And for us to do this, it's important that we follow instructions. And the instructions that we follow is the Word of God. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, it's familiar scripture. But the Word of God says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, the Word of God corrects me. Hello? I don't have to go and open up my Bible. The Holy Spirit brings a remembrance of Scripture that's inside of me when I do wrong, and He corrects me. And He instructs me on the right and the wrong way to do things. Amen. And as we're doing here, we're learning to follow the instructions of God's Word and put to practice what he says. And as we put to practice what He says, then lives will be transformed and changed. Amen. And they're changed with one element that's so important and so valuable in the body of Christ, and that is love. We're marked with love. You know, we're marked with the love of Christ. You know, Christ didn't have to go to the cross of Calvary, but He saw you and I. Before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, He knew me by name. Hallelujah. And He saw me and He went to the cross for me because He knew what I would accept Him. He knows our beginning, He knows our end, and He knows everything in between. So today we want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number one. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, or charity comes from the Greek word agape, or unconditional agape love, I've become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, I'm just making a lot of noise. I know I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So first, as we're looking at this marked with love, it starts with agape love is long-suffering. Long-suffering, suffering long. And in other words, in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, verse number 10. He says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, verse 10, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us and to the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God was long-suffering towards you and I, and we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of love. And the God of love says that we're to suffer long with one another. One of the things that we find so much is people get angry quickly. And if we get angry quickly, the love of God is not manifested in our life. We're to be slow to anger. Amen. In other words, the Spirit of love, amen, understands what the Bible says and what God told us, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with people. Amen. Amen. In other words, I'm not justifying somebody that does something wrong, but Jesus said, forgive them and love them. Bless them that persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great is your reward. Amen. 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 And we can't outgive him. He says that as we're being long-suffering, letting this love flow, love is also kind. Kind. In Mark chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, 32, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church at Ephesus. Every time he's writing to a church, he's writing to the body of Christ. He's writing to us. Amen. We're part of the body of Christ. He says in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Amen. One of the things that I see so much is we forgive, but we don't forget. And if we don't forget, we didn't forgive. When Jesus said he removed my sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Amen. He isn't going to bring them up. Amen. He's removed them. So forgiveness, he says, I believe that's when that, where Jesus says, how often does it show I can forgive 7 times 70 in a day or 490 times? It may take 490 times of me reminding myself that I forgave them. Because my flesh is weak. My spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's where the Spirit of Christ has to arise. Amen. That's where he has to be manifested. Amen. He says that this love is not jealous or envious. In Galatians chapter 5, you know, we find the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof in lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. We're not to be jealous of anyone. If somebody's got something, thank God that they got something. Thank God for who you are. One of the biggest things in the body of Christ we have to learn is God never created us to be anybody else but us. And when you're going around trying to be somebody else, you're masquerading yourself because it's really not you. It's an imitation. And God's love said, we're not to be jealous or envious of anybody. I'm happy when my brothers and sisters are blessed. I celebrate God. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. We should be blessed. All the family got a good report except Jonathan, right? Levi? Okay. All right. Amen. We pray for Jonathan and Levi. Amen. And you can't do this. You can't do this and operate and walk in this love without humility. You know? It's just like this. God called me to serve you. And God called you to serve me. Hello? We're serving one another, right? Hello? Isn't that true? Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're talking about humility, humbleness. Verse number 5. The Apostle Peter says this. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, an elder here, he is not speaking about somebody older than you. An elder could be someone that's younger than you in the body of Christ. They might have been serving the Lord longer than you. They might have been appointed or an impartation as an elder or as a bishop, according to the writings. So an elder doesn't necessarily mean someone that's old. Amen? It's somebody that may be older than you or in a position in Christ. Then he says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, I always read and people talk about in Ephesians 5, where he talks about wives submit to your husbands, and they leave out verse 24, where it says submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And we're to be subject one to another. Amen. And as we're looking at this, we're love flows when we put someone else above us. In other words, when we recognize and we honor. Amen. Yesterday, my son-in-law, Chris's father, Brent, was honored by the government and the U.S. Navy. He was made chief over all of the chaplains in the Navy. He was given his second star, so now he's a second star, a two-star admiral. And he was the first Protestant admiral in the Navy's history. There's always been Catholic before. He was the first Protestant admiral. But he was honored. He was honored. And when we submit ourselves to others and honor others, God honors us. Amen. And, you know, so it's important for us to be clothed with this humility. Because he says, hey, He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of grace. Does anybody need some grace in here besides me? Hello? So he says we're marked with love from Christ, and we're marked with love's behavior. In other words, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love marks our behavior. Amen? We begin to behave differently. I finally get it when my daddy was telling me to behave. It took a while. Hallelujah. But love, in verse number 5, doeth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never fails. Amen. He even said, brother, there's prophecy that will fail and that the other things will fail, but love. Amen. It was God's love. It was God's love that came in and lifted me. This love, this behavior that we're marked with, love's behavior, is one, it's considerate of others. One of the things the Lord took me to with that is in Romans chapter 14. Verse number 21. The Apostle Paul says this. He said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. In other words, we're to have consideration for others. If I don't have a problem or an issue with something, that doesn't mean the one sitting beside me doesn't. Amen? In other words, we're to be, love considers others. Amen? Amen? And I don't. And it's so important that we get a hold of how love, when it's considering others, you have to be, love has to be selfless. In other words, there has to be selflessness. It can't always be about us. Amen. And if you make it about you all the time, you're going to be a miserable person. Yep. Amen. I don't know about you, but the more I do for others, the more I'm blessed by God. Yep. Come on. Amen. In other words, God has made us vessels of His glory to be a blessing to this world. Amen. So we're to have some selflessness. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul says this in verse 32. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. I've never seen so much. I read it and I see it all the time in the body of Christ. Everybody's walking around offended by something. And he says, we're not to take offense. We're not to take it personally. Christ took it personally for you and I on the cross of Calvary so we wouldn't have to take it personally. Amen? We leave it with him. And then the Apostle Paul said this in verse 33. He said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, brought the profit of many that they may be saved. Amen. We're looking. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So we're selfless, we're soul hunters. Amen. And this takes for us to be patient. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord. When he came to my room and set me free and called me into ministry. And I was going through all these trials and these tribulations and whatever. And I was praying for patience all the time. And I think my daddy said, son, well, you better just stop praying for patience. Because if you're going, you're praying for patience, you're going to get some tests. But the trial for patience brings experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But he says for us to be patient. And I went back here to Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He says, better is the end of a thing, verse 8, than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Amen. I'm learning to patiently wait. You know, he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. And sometimes in that waiting period, I'm a pretty active guy. I'm not very good at sitting. I've got to always be moving. I always got to be doing something. So that patiently waiting, it's a thing I'm learning. This behavior that we're marked with a love's behavior, I put it's restorative. It's restorative. And to restore, to bring things back in order. In other words, if my shoulder is out of place, I'm not going to leave it out of place. I want it to come back in and be restored into my body so it functions. And in the body of Christ, it's important that we have that spirit of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. And in other words, we're walking in the spirit. We're not walking in the flesh. This is the gifts of the spirit. God, he says, I'm showing you an excellent way for them to happen, because every gift of the spirit has to operate in love. Amen. Because if it doesn't operate in love, it's just noise. You know, so he said, if you prophesy, may it be for edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers. In other words, I'm allowing the love of God to flow through to encourage someone's spirit, encourage somebody in the house. How many know that we all go through times of discouragement? Come on. Hello? You know, we're not, everybody in the house goes through a time of discouragement. And if you say you don't go through a time of discouragement, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Amen? Because we face things in this world. Even though we're walking in the spirit, we're still battling with the flesh.
Right.
None of us arrive. We're ever learning, but never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? So we're all in here doing what the Apostle Paul said. We're studying to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So he says that we want to speak the truth. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Love is truthful. Behavior is truthful. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he says this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Us changing the truth to fit somebody's situation and speaking a white lie isn't helping anyone to be delivered or free. In other words, you can only really truly tell someone the truth if it's in love. Because if you're telling somebody the truth and it's not in love, many times they will be offended because it wasn't in love. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? And in other words, it's the love of God that's flowing through you and I as his children. Amen. We're allowing God to arise and the enemy is being scattered. Amen. And when love arises, the devil hates it. Amen. He hates it. You know, this love, this behavior of love is it's merciful. It's merciful. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, amen, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. And in other words, to do this, it has to be saturated with love. Amen. He says also, this behavior is faithful. Amen. Faithfulness. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, the Apostle said, moreover, is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Love is faithful. You know, I also have it here as hopeful. Now, when I was looking at that, love is hopeful, his behavior is hopeful. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1, Hebrews 11, 1. Wow. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And I went blank there for a second. I was listening to this man yesterday, and he gave this illustration. And this illustration really ministered to me. And I believe it's going to minister to someone here. You probably heard it. And I'm not going to tell the whole story he did. I've got the short version. Amen. He was speaking about planting a bamboo tree. And he said with the bamboo, you plant the seed. And it takes 5 years. 5 years for it to sprout out of the ground. And then within 5 weeks, it can grow up to 90 feet. And the Lord said this. He said, the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come, it will not tarry. And you have planted seeds in the ground, and you've been looking for the harvest, and you haven't seen the harvest. God said, don't give up. God said, it's getting ready to break forth. It's going to shoot up. You know, this man that planted the seed, a bamboo tree has to be watered. So it has to be watered every day. So he's going out and watering it. And his neighbors are looking at him and saying, look at that fool. He keeps watering that thing and nothing's there. But all of a sudden, I serve a God that's all about all of a sudden. I know I've got seeds in the ground. I know there's things that I've been expecting. I know I've got tears on those seeds that have been weeping and crying and expecting some things. And I know it's about ready to shoot up. Amen. Because God is faithful. God will do everything that he said he would do. So those seeds that you've been waiting for, God says, don't grow weary and well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up. Press in. Amen. We serve a God that can do exceedingly abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but we serve a God that does not lie. Amen. But what this calls for us is to be endurable. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19, we'll say verse 20. I was thinking about the guy that was watering and everyone that's saying he's wasting his time. Verse 20 says, what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, for this is acceptable with God. Amen. Amen. Not everybody understands what God called you to do. Amen. So what has he said to me? He says, hey, he says, we're marked with God's love. Love marks our behavior. But he also says, love makes a mark on others. Let me say something to you. Wait a minute. When you love people, when they know they don't deserve it. Hello? When you love someone when they don't deserve it, it leaves a mark. It leaves a, I wonder why they did that. You know, I did this and they did that. Amen? You know, God's called us to be his peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen? So he says to me, I'm going to take this in a little out of normal here in Philippians chapter 3. Talk about being marked with love. Love marks our behavior. Love has touches others. Love makes a mark on others. And the apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he said what? He said, I press toward the mark. What's the mark? For the high prize of the high calling. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the prize? What's our high calling? To love. God said to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfilled the whole commandment and those two. Amen. He says, I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. 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 God loves you. God loves everyone in the room. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, his grace is abounding towards you. Amen. He loves you just where you're at. He loves you so much, he just doesn't want to leave you there. Amen. Hey, let's don't get stuck in the muck. Amen. Let's let that love of God just flow. Can we all just stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we all just lift our hands to heaven? Come on. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every man and woman in the room. Father, I thank you for the calling that's upon each and every one of them. I thank you that you've given each and every one of them your spirit, Father God. And Lord, as you spoke tonight, Father God, I pray, Father God, for the spirit of love to arise, permeate in them, Father God. Lord, your word says that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, bringing life. Love brings life. And in a dying and a sick world, love needs to arise, Father God. So, Father, I pray, Father God, and I thank you for every man and woman in this room. I thank you for the anointing that's upon them. I thank you for the gifts that are in them. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you stir things up. The Spirit of God stirs things up. Father God, that you're stirring our hearts. You're stirring our lives because you called us for a time such as now, Father God. So I thank you, Father God, that even the gifts that have been laying dormant are being activated, Father God. They're being stirred up and put to use for your kingdom. Not just for inside these walls, Father God, but may we take your love to this community, Father God, to this state, Lord, to this nation, Father God, to this world, Father God. Have your way in our hearts and lives is our prayer. Not our will, Father God, but your will be done. And we'll never cease to give you all glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for we ask these things and give you praise for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, you're marked with love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You did good.
You did good, man. You sure did.